Our new poll shows Joe Biden with a double-digit lead over President Trump nationally, as both campaigns target specific states and voters.
Even though this is 50 states, this election comes down to just a handful of them.
We'll look at the swing states and one particular group of voters now in focus. Plus, as we wait for a coronavirus vaccine, some insight on whether or not Americans would take it. And we've seen shortages of toilet paper and pasta during the pandemic. We'll tell you what's now on the list. Here's a hint. It comes in a can. It's Thursday, October 15th. I'm Mark Stewart with The Wall Street Journal, and this is What's News. More talks could happen today in the effort to secure another pandemic stimulus bill. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin are still not on the same page on price tag or policy measures. We'll look at the latest market impact in a moment. A strong majority of Americans would be willing to take a COVID-19 vaccine, but 30% of Americans are unwilling, uncertain, or would only take it if it's mandatory. That's according to a new WSJ NBC poll. The Journal's pharma reporter, Jared Hopkins, has some potential explanations for this level of hesitancy.
Some of the reasons include concern that the vaccine development process is being rushed and that there are corners being cut. There's also a concern about politicization of the process by the government, by the Trump administration. And that whether they will approve a vaccine shot before it's proven to work safely. So all these sort of contribute to the larger issue of vaccine hesitancy.
We also have new poll numbers on the presidential race. We'll get into that a little later. In Thailand, an emergency decree banning gatherings is now in place after a series of student-led protests in Bangkok. The pro-democracy demonstrators are pushing for limits on the country's military and monarchy. The president of Kyrgyzstan is resigning following political turmoil and protests after a disputed election. It's the latest big development in a region we've been following lately. The U.S., Russia, and China are all fighting for influence in Central Asia. As we mentioned earlier, there's still partisan division in Washington over a new round of pandemic stimulus money. That and other factors are driving trading now, as our markets reporter Joe Wallace explains.
Markets have wobbled over the past couple of days. The main reason seems to be worries that a new economic stimulus package won't be reached in the US, at least until after the election, which, coupled with rising coronavirus cases both in Europe and the US, spells more uncertainty for the world economy over the coming months. There are some grounds for optimism, though, that investors are finding. Some company earnings are coming in better than expected at the start of this quarterly earnings season.
Today, Morgan Stanley and Walgreens report their quarterly results. Also, we'll get the latest data on weekly jobless claims. Just ahead of Election Day, we'll look at our new poll, the candidates' messaging, and one crucial voter group both candidates are courting. Right after the break. Joe Biden holds an 11 percentage point lead over President Trump nationally, according to a new Wall Street Journal NBC News poll. He has a 53% to 42% edge. The poll was taken after the president's COVID-19 hospitalization, the televised debate, as well as Judge Amy Coney Barrett's nomination to the Supreme Court. For a closer look at the numbers and the remaining days of the campaign, we're joined by national politics reporter Eliza Collins. Hi, Eliza.
Hi there.
So let's first talk about the poll itself. A double-digit lead for Biden. Is it to be taken at face value? What does this lead show?
Well, this lead shows that Biden is ahead by Donald Trump by a lot, and he has been for a long time. The cause for concern for the president here is that in the last poll we took, which was immediately after the debate,
Biden's lead actually expanded to 14 percentage points, which was the weakest showing the president had had yet. The president has gained back a bit. Now he is 11 points behind Biden, but that is still larger than he was in September. So following a tumultuous few weeks for the president, he got coronavirus, he was hospitalized, he had a debate performance that was criticized by Democrats and Republicans. He's had a hard time coming back to even where he was in September, even if he's showed a little bit of improvement over immediately following the debate.
Eliza, this poll was taken after the president was diagnosed with COVID-19. What are voter attitudes or reflections on this?
Pollsters asked in this poll specifically about the president's own diagnosis, and 44% of voters said he was taking unnecessary risks. Only 1/4 of the electorate said he was actually taking the necessary precautions with his own diagnosis.
Eliza, we were supposed to have another debate tonight. That was canceled. Now, both of the candidates are participating in town halls, Trump in Florida, Biden in Pennsylvania. Both are battleground states. Where will campaigns focus in the remaining weeks?
So even though this is 50 states, this election comes down to just a handful of them. And some of these are states that the president won by very narrow margins in 2016. Pennsylvania, Michigan, Florida. Those are states that we see both candidates really competing in. But the map has expanded. So now we are seeing, you know, a competitive race in traditionally red states, Arizona being a top pickup opportunity for Joe Biden, where both candidates are competing. Iowa is now ranked as a toss-up state. That was a state the president won by a comfortable margin in 2016 that has become more competitive. There are also states, a handful of them, that Hillary Clinton won in 2016, but by a narrow margin, that the Trump campaign is competing in. Nevada is a key one here, where Clinton won by a narrow margin. Both Biden and Trump feel that this is a state that they can win. And so we're going to see them on the ground at least most days in these battleground states, trying to win over voters in the final, I guess, less than 3 weeks.
What about messaging? The president is having some success. His Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett is moving forward in the Senate confirmation hearings. What will the president be talking about in this final stretch?
The polling shows that the president does lead on the economy, and voters give Republicans an edge on that. So that is what you're going to see Republican advisors hoping the president will talk about. It's not exactly clear if that is what he will talk about. This is something Republicans have had the edge on a long time and have always hoped the president would talk about. But they see a winning message if he's able to talk about the economy, particularly before the pandemic, where voters were, really trying to dig into voters to think about where they were 4 years ago and how they have gotten better.
And will we see Joe Biden attack the president on his handling of the coronavirus, or will he bring up other issues?
So Joe Biden has already been attacking the president on his handling of the coronavirus. He has seen his polling increase during the pandemic, and the president's, you know, polling shows that the president is weak on his handling of the pandemic. So Joe Biden is absolutely doing that. One thing we've already seen him do a lot of is talking about the precautions that the president has taken versus Biden. So we see Biden out there now. He's giving speeches with his mask on. His campaign is holding smaller socially distant events compared to the president, who is having these rallies without mask mandates. And the Biden campaign is talking about that a lot.
Eliza, if you look at the demographics of this race, what are some new trends that are emerging that are catching your eye?
One group to really watch here that is critical in some of these swing states, Florida, Arizona, Iowa, are seniors. And we are seeing both candidates really making a play for seniors. There are specific events for seniors. They are going to places trying to talk to the senior community. We have seen the president posting a video message targeted at seniors specifically on Twitter. So this is a group that both sides are really trying to make a play for, and we've seen that shift in just the last few months.
National politics reporter Eliza Collins. Eliza, thanks again.
Thank you.
And finally, it's a canned food classic. It goes well with meatloaf and mashed potatoes. It can even wiggle its way into a casserole. And these days, canned corn is becoming a prized pandemic possession. The toilet paper and dried pasta shortages of the early lockdown phases are mostly solved. These days, canned corn is very hard to find. Annie Gasparo, our food industry reporter, says there are a bunch of factors.
Sweet corn, the corn that we eat, is actually a very tiny percentage of the total overall corn that's grown in the country. The farmers that grow sweet corn, they are specialized. So the canned corn companies couldn't go to the farmers that grow animal feed corn, and they couldn't go to tomato farmers or bean farmers because they just wouldn't be able to grow corn on their land in a short time frame because not only of their own experience, but also the climate. So there were a number of issues that made it difficult for the canned corn companies to find more land.
Annie says producers are working to meet high demand, but the gap could continue through the holidays.
Retailers are really trying to stock up and rebuild their inventories of canned corn and other foods that are really popular right now with more people at home cooking. The issue is just going to be whether the canned corn companies can make enough of it. And right now, the harvest is going on. Brands like Green Giant and Del Monte are working to can that fresh corn as quickly as possible. They've said that they've been able to increase their production by somewhere around 25%. And yet, sales of canned corn are up 40% since the beginning of the pandemic.
On that note, that's what's news for Thursday. We're back tonight with a brand new show. In the meantime, you can watch the day's top stories unfold on WSJ.com and the Journal app. I'm Mark Stewart with the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.